Week 6, Day 4, A Kind Stranger Illustrates Loving Others. Luke 10, 36-37. Which of these three do you think became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in religious law said, "The one who showed mercy to him." So Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Loving others shows one's faith. Once Jesus finished his story with the Samaritan's open-handed love for a total stranger, he had put the priest and Levite to shame. The despised Samaritan showed interest in the stranger's condition and extended love beyond all measure and expectations. This Samaritan didn't see himself as a hero. He genuinely cared for others. That standard far exceeded his very religious but unloving fellow travelers, and the legal expert knew it. Jesus paused for a moment and simply asked the well-trained scholar, "Which of these three do you think became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" This legal expert began the dialogue trying to lead Jesus into saying something he didn't want to say. With one simple yet profound story, Jesus ended the dialogue, leading this scholar into saying something he didn't want to say. Jesus forced him to answer his own question, "Who is my neighbor?" 10:29. Think about the story with the scholar. The robbers took this man's money. The Samaritan gave him money, putting him up in the inn. The robbers beat him. The Samaritan bandaged his wounds. The robbers left him to die. The Samaritan stayed with him to care. Further, the Samaritan ensured the man would be cared for in his absence. Of course, the robbers left him with no intention of returning, but the Samaritan promised to return and would pay more if necessary. We don't know how long the expert in religious law took to respond. We can't read his facial expressions as he considered his humbling answer. Based on the parable of the sower and the seeds, week 1, we could expect any number of responses, from cold-hearted reluctance to fruit-bearing obedience. To his credit, the legal expert gave the obvious and only plausible answer, however reluctant he may have been. That's not being overly harsh. Look at the way he said it. Probably in a quieter, softer tone than he asked his earlier question, the scholar answered, "The one who showed mercy to him." Mercy indeed. This man, despised by his Jewish neighbors to Samaria's north and south, did more than help the victim. He actually reversed every wrong done to him and personally paid the price to make it right. Do you notice how the scholar identified the best neighbor? He didn't simply call him the Samaritan. That ID would seem to be more natural. Why not use it? Perhaps he just couldn't bring himself to accept the loss to a group of people so despised. But perhaps he got Jesus' point. Godly love doesn't just feel, it does. This expert rightly identified the man by his actions. So, rather than giving this scholar a browbeating lecture on the purpose of the law, Jesus graciously accepted his answer and said to him, "Go and do the same." I'm ashamed to admit it, but sometimes those who don't know God personally or practice any faith at all show more godly compassion than those of us in God's family. I include myself in this rebuke. Some of the reasons why Christians fail to act can be discovered by asking two questions. First, why might the priest or Levite not act like the Samaritan? Second, how do I fall into the same trap? What factors or obstacles may have hindered the religious men from showing compassion? 1. Apathy. Sadly, the gut-level response suggests a simple, "I don't care." They just didn't want to be bothered. 2. Safety. Given the road's dangers, it's a valid consideration, but it should not prevent them from doing what is right. 3. Finances. The Samaritan himself validates this reason. Even if they were not as generous as he was, helping this man would have cost them something. 4. Religion. They would have been defiled if he were dead. 5. Pride. Messing around with dirty, bloodied people was beneath their status. 6. Busyness. No doubt they had other things, better things to do than help some stranger who's nearly dead anyway. 7. Selfishness. They didn't want to sacrifice anything of their own in practicing their faith. These are just 7 obstacles. You can think of more. Of these, or any you may add, which typically interfere with your desire to show love to those around you? You see, we can all agree that we should go and do the same, But to run that offense, we need to address the opposing defense and guard against wrong attitudes. We must ask, what gets in your way from loving like this? What steps or strategy needs to be implemented to conquer or avoid those obstacles? Coach, notice how Jesus handled this teachable moment. Jesus could have given the scholar the point of the parable. Instead, Jesus gave his student space to think and respond. Result? This scholar eventually discovered the answer. Once he did, he owned it. Heart lessons usually come over time. God understands that. Likewise, when we give people time to change, it shows our love for others. Do you remember that trap Jesus set for the legal expert who asked about inheriting eternal life? The lawyer tried to set a standard of righteousness that he thought he could attain, or already had. By means of a parable, Jesus showed him that he had not even fulfilled the single commandment to love your neighbor to God's satisfaction. The lawyer could never attain God's righteousness on his own merit. It comes only through the finished work of Christ, dying for our sin on the cross. To learn more about receiving God's righteousness through a relationship with him, turn to page 105. And as we conclude day 4 of week 6, we recommend a quote from Maya Angelou on the front page of week 6, day 4. Have a great week.